Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE SmackDown Live.
Well, Mike, a pretty wild end to really a wild day in WWE and in the wrestling industry for sure. So a lot of places where we could start this thing. We'll get to the Vince McMahon stuff, absolutely. But let's talk about the wrestling first. Let's talk about the Roman Reigns versus Riddle main event. I thought it was a really good match. I thought that those two guys did a nice job in that match building to moments that you kind of could maybe feel that Riddle was going to get the job done. And, you know, I think with a match like this one where you have such a dominant champion in Roman Reigns coming in and some potential big matches on the horizon, you're thinking that you kind of know how this one's going to go. But so half the battle is try to create that sense of doubt during the match. And I thought both Reigns and Riddle did that with a couple of the near falls and with how they constructed the match. But Roman Reigns, still undisputed universal champion. Not a big surprise there, but what did you think of the match? And also, what did you think of how WWE built it up throughout the show tonight?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There was a couple factors that helped make this match what it was. And one was that it wasn't sprung on us just tonight. This was a match that was pre-planned and something that people could talk about and anticipate for a week. They opened the show with Riddle talking about the match. So I think they went out of their way to give the show that quote-unquote big fight feel. And that's to that end, I think they succeeded. And the match itself, I totally agree. It felt more or less like a pay-per-view level match on SmackDown, and I think that's a rarity. They don't tend to grab a viewer as much as this one did, and it all came down to kind of the end game of the match, like the last 5 minutes or so, when there were, like you said, these believable near falls where realistically think Riddle might pull this off. And it was fine that Roman won. It was not a squash. Riddle looked great. There's nothing, this doesn't degrade Riddle, and no Usos, no Heyman involvement. It was a straight up win for Roman, but not as easy as some people might have thought. So yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, it was. And I like that too, that there was no no interference. Like, this is about as clean as you're going to get in WWE, especially on television. So, I mean, what do you make of Roman Reigns winning? And we'll get to Brock here in a minute, because Brock Lesnar made his return after the main event. What do you make of Roman Reigns winning and then kind of getting on the microphone and saying, hey, you know, there's nobody left, and I said that I was going to wreck everybody and leave, and now we're going to leave? Like, is that, hey, you know, we're going to get him off television even more than he has been? And, or is it just there to kind of, you know, surprise the audience when Brock comes back? Like, what did you read into that line?
Well, as kind of a seasoned viewer, when Roman said there's no one left, I look at the clock, and if there's 5 minutes left, I think, yeah, there's someone left, and we're about to find out who. And sure enough, out came Brock. If the timing were different, then yeah, I might think this is playing into what we've been hearing about Roman's lighter schedule this summer and less appearances, things like that. The thing is, especially with an opponent, I assume a soon-to-be opponent in Brock, you can continue to have that lighter schedule but still have a feud with Rock where you're only going to have to see each other maybe once or twice before a match, maybe at SummerSlam. So, yeah, my first instinct, just because of the timing of the thing and how WWE does things, I thought there would be an appearance of somebody we hadn't seen in a while. Kind of similar to, this is slightly off topic, but when Adam Pearce earlier in the evening said that, Sheamus, we've decided you're in the Money in the Bank ladder match. I mean, I knew, especially given like the roster depth, the thing coming next was, and Drew, so are you, Drew, but only after Drew beats up Sheamus. So they just have a little bit of predictability, you know, to their rhythms. So, yeah, that's what I made of that.
So, yeah, same. And but for Brock Lesnar, though, like, you know, yes, he's a name that hasn't been around in a while, but he's certainly not a name that Roman Reigns hasn't, quote unquote, wrecked before. Yeah. Now they were throwing some curveballs at WWE clearly with Randy Orton getting injured, Cody Rhodes getting injured. I mean, two guys that I think, you know, we're going to have some significant plans for them this year in WWE, and reportedly Orton like sooner than later. You know, you had to kind of reshuffle the deck. So you know, you're kind of playing the Brock card here. What do you think? What do you think of that? I mean, they went all out in booking the Brock versus Roman undisputed unified championship match at WrestleMania. I thought it was one of the more like one of the better builds that they've done in a really, really long time. They paid it off with Roman winning unified champion. And now you're kind of going back to it. Does that have any gas in the tank left, Mike, for SummerSlam, given the circumstances? Like, take the circumstances into account as you answer.
Yeah, it's going to have to work.
He got a good reaction.
Yeah, and in Minnesota, I mean, yeah. I don't know if you could have a better place for him to do that. I should maybe amend what I said, because I said someone who hasn't been around in a while, and, well, it hasn't been that long since Brock was around.
Right.
But I guess what I should say was, like, a surprise. I wasn't thinking Brock was returning tonight, you know, so I think it was effective that way. But it wasn't, like, a long-lost wrestler by any means. But, yeah, it can work. I think they're only, like, one or two promos away from making it intriguing, and I think they can do that. And I don't know. I assume Roman just ends up retaining anyway against Brock. But I still think I seem to recall that there were people who weren't that hyped about Lesnar and Reigns at WrestleMania because of their previous engagements. So I could definitely see there being some pushback on this. But you made a good point about there being some unexpected injuries, some big ones to some big names. And, you know, maybe they go back to Brock earlier than they planned. But like I said, it's going to kind of have to work, because that's where we're headed right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head with that. I mean, yeah, it's going to kind of have to work. You know, I don't think like Roman Reigns is not advertised for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view right now. So, you know, likely you're looking at SummerSlam for a potential, like the earliest that a potential Lesnar Reigns, what is it, 6 or 5 or I'm not sure, would take place. And I mean, on the surface, like, I think I would agree that, hey, you know, okay, we've kind of been here, we've done that. But to your point, it's kind of like, okay, where else do you go? They've got a huge weekend in Nashville, major stadium. I mean, you got to bring a big main event for that show. And, you know, yes, we've been there, done that with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, but they'll have to get creative. You know, maybe it's some kind of huge stipulation of some kind or something to that effect to kind of give it a little more sizzle. There's a lot of ways they could go, but, you know, we'll see. Lots of other things that we need to get to. We got to get to the Vince McMahon stuff. We will. But first, let's pause quickly here. Let's set the table for the show and give out the phone number, and then we can start taking calls as well. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show, covering the June 17th, 2022 edition of WWE SmackDown. I'm PW Torch assistant editor Zach Haydorn, filling in for Wade tonight. Wade was in the building and got to see one heck of a show for a variety of different reasons. And he'll be on the VIP side of things a little bit later, running on the show on the Wade Keller Hotline. Go VIP now, pwtorch.com/goVIP. You can hear Wade's Wade Keller Hotline every single day, as well as a multitude of other great podcasts, an ad-free version of pwtorch.com, ad-free versions of this show, and lots of other benefits, including over 30 years worth of archives to kind of piece through. Great value. Give us a shot. pwtorch.com/goVIP. The other voice you hear tonight with me is that of Mike Myers from pwtorch.com. Mike, we'll get into all the awesome stuff that you do for the Torch, but great to have you on the show. Certainly going to be a memorable one, I think.
Yeah, good to be back with you, Zach. You can find me on Twitter at TheMikeShow42. Thanks, Zach.
Fantastic. So, we'll open up the phone lines right now, 347-215-8558. That is 347-215-8558. If you're in there and you're listening to us right now, make sure to press 1 to let me know that you want to get on. We've got a lot of callers, so please do me a favor. Keep it to 1-2 points. I want to do my best to get to everybody, and I will try my best to get to everybody, and we'll see how it goes. If you don't want to talk to us, but you still want to contribute, I do have the email bag open here, wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. That is wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com, and I'll keep tabs on that as we go through the show here and I'll get some emails along the way. But with that said, Mike, let's get to some calls here. We'll start things off with 615. 615, thanks a bunch for calling. State your name and where you're calling from.
Zach, it is me, Sean, VIP from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Zach, I always love talking to you, man. I always love being on here. Good talk wrestling with you. Mike, how are you guys doing tonight?
Dude, doing good, Sean. I thought that was you, but, you know, I don't have the numbers memorized quite yet. But great to talk to you, man. Always a pleasure. What did you think of the show tonight?
Well, the show was definitely good. I mean, when you have a main event – that WWE is some of their flaws. We know their flaws. We understand them. But when they get ready for big main events like that, they do a phenomenal job of getting you ready for them and building them up. And everything going into that was just great. I mean, Riddle was just great. He's getting so – his mic's stuff has just been fantastic lately. Homage to Randy, doing it for Randy. And – the match was, I mean, so crisp. I thought Mike, you're right. It was one of the better TV main events we've seen in a while. I mean, it was hard hitting. They gave it a lot of time, which I was really happy about. They gave it a lot of good time. So I wanted to know what you guys thought about the match in general. But going back to Brock, and, you know, it was a surprise. You know, being in Minnesota, it makes sense. I'm glad Wade and Kelly got to see that. That was cool to end the show on. But I think with Brock, it's just – you know, part of WWE with the depth issues and then now with the injury issues that have obviously hurt them and you can't do anything about that. But with Brock, it's just, I mean, I enjoy Brock. And I think, like you guys were talking about, I think they can build a really good match between the two. But the only two things for me is just it has been so many matches. I'm just kind of almost over it now. Like, they'll get me invested. But then with Brock, the way he does in the ring, like, he can have a great match, but now with the limited stuff, I feel like he just wants to do enough just to kind of get by. I don't feel like he really wants to give us that true, memorable, just amazing, incredible match. It's just now more F5s and spears and Suplex City kind of things. And so it just kind of takes me out in that sense because I know that's what I'm going to get. What do you guys think about all that?
I mean, I agree. I mean, on the surface, I most definitely agree. I mean, I think that was an issue with their WrestleMania match is that it was great in first gear and good in second gear, and then it kind of just stalled out there where the build to that match, I think, called for something a lot grander and a lot more impactful. And, you know, we've seen that a lot from Brock, not so much from Roman. Roman has delivered, you know, in his run here as champion from a match quality perspective, but not with Brock Lesnar. So, you know, I would classify myself as over it as far as Brock goes, like you, Sean. But if they're going to go forward with it, yeah, I mean, you have to, I think, add something to the mix here. Otherwise, you know, you're going to be in the same exact situation that you were for WrestleMania with essentially the same outcome. And I don't, you know, Brock doesn't have enough of a track record at this point of putting on a diverse array of matches stylistically. So, you know, there's not a lot of cards to play at that point. So I don't know if it's, you know, hey, okay, we're going to have some sort of stipulation, or maybe, you know, somebody else gets added in, you know, and it's some kind of triple threat a la, you know, Cena, Rollins, and Lesnar at the Royal Rumble, you know, all those years past. That, I mean, is a way to freshen it up. I'm not a fan of triple threat matches, Mike, but that is a path to go down. We'll have to see. I suppose, like, this could have also just been like, hey, we're in Minnesota. Hey, you know, this is a big main event, and we want to end the show on a high note, but we're not going to put Riddle over. And hey, you know, this stuff happened with Vince McMahon earlier today and yesterday. This will be a good way to kind of just send everybody home happy and send everybody watching away happy. So I suppose that's a possibility as well. And this Lesnar thing is just what it was. And that's it. I doubt it, but you know, you can't take it off the table at this point. Mike, what do you say?
Yeah. I hadn't thought of that as plugging him in as a one-off to end the show with some excitement after what might have been an inevitable Riddle loss, Lesnar or no Lesnar. But I do still think that he'll be plugged in for a little bit longer to continue with Roman. But I am with Sean. Brock's like a shadow of what got us all excited about him when he was new, like his first few years in the company, when he was marginally smaller than he is now, but he moved around like a lightning bolt. Like, it was incredible. Like, his mix of speed, size, and strength wasn't like anything I'd ever seen. And I feel nostalgia for that, but yeah, it's sort of running dry a little bit. But I think he'll always have this superstar status about him. They just need to sprinkle the seasoning on it right to get it something that people can get excited for again, and be that a stipulation or some really spirited promos from Brock about wanting to get both of these titles off of Reigns and around his waist, then – something. They need something. And we'll see if they can do that.
Yeah, we'll see. Sean, you brought up a point about Riddle and his mic work. I think that was, to your point, like kind of an underrated part of the night as well. And I wrote this down as I was watching the show. Like, the way that he talked about himself and the way he talked about his run and the way that, like, he was able to sell his relationship with Randy Orton and make it believable that he was, you know, going to have this match for Randy on his behalf. Like, you know, that worked to kind of plant the seed. And I even said this on Twitter as we're going, like, it felt like they were laying on that Riddle narrative really, really thick. And sometimes when WWE does that, that's a forecast of things to come. And in this case, it wasn't, but that's a good thing because Riddle was able to make you buy, hey, I can win this thing. And to me, I mean, he did it in the ring too, once it got to that point, but the setup and that promo I thought was a home run, Mike, as far as, you know, selling people on the match and on Riddle potentially winning.
Between his promo that nearly opened the show after Vince and the always stunning WWE video package that he Riddle sort of kicked to during his his in-ring promo, it was fantastic to build toward tonight's main event. Like, that's a lesson in how you build toward a show's main event. I made a note here that I was kind of surprised that he talked about Orton at least as much as his title match with Reigns, if not more. And that almost distracted me to the point of, like, I don't think it's that common that they have this, like, two-prong approach with a guy at one time who is so enamored with his tag partner, but also enamored with a title match he's got forthcoming. And I couldn't help but think, where is this headed with Randy? Like, is this leading toward the grand return of Randy that's going to be celebrated with Riddle and they're going to be happy to see one another? Or is Randy going to come back to a Riddle who's loves him, as he claimed tonight, but say, I'm sick of you using my moveset and getting your ass beat, and that's the end of it? You know what I mean?
It's a great point. And also, like, you know, some of that, like, the way he talked about Randy Orton, like, I think that promo in the wrong hands, like, doesn't get over. Like, I mean, I really do. Like it can come across as cheesy. It can come across as unbelievable. It can come across as inauthentic, like just bad television. But, you know, in the right hands, which I think it was tonight, yeah, you have some layers there. It keeps the door open for a lot of different angles when Orton presumably comes back. I know that, you know, he's going to miss some time here. I mean, there's a lot of angles. I mean, in the match, there was a huge Randy chant that broke out instead of a Riddle chant. So I think depending on your perspective on it, that's either a good or a bad thing, because Riddle was the guy in the match. But, you know, he very much made Randy Orton a part of this match and a part of his quest. So, you know, I think that was okay in the end. Sean, back to you. Any comments on our comments, or perhaps a different topic altogether?
Yeah, I wanted to just bring up a couple quick things, because I know, like you said, there's a lot of callers that want to get in and kind of chime on what's going on. But about Vince, like, really fast, I thank goodness Vince didn't talk about what was going on. Thank God. I don't think that would have been a horrible idea. I don't know why he still – I still think it was terrible he was even there to come out. I just think that was really bad, because the fans are going to want to cheer because he's there and they don't see him as often anymore. So, like, they're going to want to cheer. They didn't cheer, like, loudly, but it wasn't, like, crazy, you know, nuts ovation, but – I just think he should have just laid back, Vince. You don't need to – I don't want to judge because, I don't know. But don't get – just stay away. Like, don't be out there right now. Just let everything play out and see what happens and go from there. I just think it's a bad look for you to be out there right now and trying to get everybody pumped up for a show. And it's just like, I don't know. I didn't like that. But then the main topic I wanted to bring up real quick was – and I know you guys will talk about Vince quite a bit, so I'll let you guys kind of harp on that. But with Madcap and Corbin – Madcap and Corbin was fine. I mean, again, I'm kind of just over it. They didn't need to have a last laugh. Madcap, to me, already got it. I don't know why he needed another last laugh. I mean, again, he got it. The match was fine for what it was. Madcap, to me, I mean, yes, he's gotten, quote-unquote, more serious with the – but he's just yelling and screaming all the time. And I just think there's still – I feel like he still has to show me something more as a character. But – him yelling and screaming and just like, oh, there's got to be something more to me than that. And I don't know. So I'm kind of like worried about his upside. He has it. But again, I still don't know how high. So I wanted to know what you guys thought. Did you guys think the match was just okay, a little better than okay? Or you just, should it not have happened altogether? And where do you think, you know, do you still think he's got a pretty good upside? And that's all I had, Zach. I appreciate you, man. Your guys' Fireside Chat, you and Tyler, always do a great job on there. I recommend everybody get on the YouTube channel, check it out. Mike, I always appreciate talking to you, man, as always. Thank you guys for taking my call.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Really appreciate it. Good to talk to you, too. Have a good weekend. Thanks for calling. Yeah, so, yeah, Madcap, I'm really right where Sean is on him. And it's because there's something there, but it doesn't seem like he's anywhere near tapping into that yet. Like, you can see, like, a personality, for sure, and you can see a charisma about him, for sure, but it's all so disconnected from what he's actually doing out there that is pretty useless. And then on top of that, you add in the fact that he's being produced to kind of be loud and laughing. And I don't know what it is with laughing in WWE these days, but there's a lot of people doing it as part of their act. Rollins, Sasha, when she was around, and it's just like, it's not a good look. Like I just don't buy it at all. And I guess that's probably how I'd bottom line my opinion on him, is like, I'm not buying what he's selling me in the ring. He's got some decent moves. He can move around the ring. Good look, but it's all kind of just happening, and it's not cohesive at all into, you know, a marketable, even mid-card act at this point, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he's a work in progress. He wasn't exactly handed the easiest character to portray.
That's true, yes. Fair.
So when they... when they align him with Corbin and say your gimmick is going to be that you make jokes and then you laugh uproariously, and that's the extent of it, I think he ran with that with an investment and an energy level that I find admirable, even if I think it's a stupid idea. And now his wardrobe has changed. At least, for the moment, is laying off of the jokes. But the laughing thing, that match concluded, by the way, as for the match, it was whatever. That's what I consider like a standard SmackDown match. In fact, on like, right. On like a down week, that could have been the main event of an episode of SmackDown. So that's kind of a normal TV looking match to me. Yeah, he had the match won, and he was declared the winner. He rolls out to ringside, gets the microphone, gets everyone's attention, and says, "Hey, Corbin," into the mic, and then just forces a super phony belly laugh for seconds on end. And no one does that. Like, maybe movie villains just laugh at things going their way, but normal people don't, and it's not something that gets me excited or get behind him. And then they sort of doubled down on it by having McAfee unite the crowd to laugh yeah. at Corbin, which was even weirder, because how do you just, you can't coordinate an arena full of people to laugh at somebody. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. if you want to do the na 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 goodbye chant, that's one thing, or any chant, you make up any chant to just escort Corbin out while insulting him, but let's laugh him out. You're right. It's a weird obsession. And I think it has to do with like creative thinking that laughing at somebody is, that's how you exert your power. And that's how you embarrass somebody. You're laughing at them. And what could be more embarrassing for Corbin than being laughed at? So let's force it.
Yeah. And the other thing with that too, is with the McAfee thing at the end, like it kind of put McAfee in like the final position to like one up Corbin, you know, over Madcap, you know. And it seemed to like, you know, you kind of, if this is going to be like a moment, even if it's a small one for Madcap Moss, like you want him to be kind of like the ringleader there. And so I don't know if they're going to go to, if they're looking at building, you know, McAfee versus Corbin, like I guess that could be in the cards after tonight. But yeah, I mean, I don't, like McAfee kind of taking over as like the ringleader of that whole thing, kind of it. I don't want to say it watered down Madcap's win, but you know, since I'm out of other ways to describe it, that's what I'll say.
Yeah, and I do think Corbin and Madcap are done, if for no other reason that this was called the last laugh match, so that should wrap it up for those two. And yeah, I don't know what else they were doing, because it was clearly a scripted moment that. Between Corbin like threatening McAfee and then McAfee coming back and riling the crowd up against him. So that makes me feel like there's something there, especially since I think the program is complete with Corbin and Madcap.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and SummerSlam, you know, it's not around the corner, but it's not like super far away either. So, you know, you got to start putting some pieces together for that. And, you know, McAfee has proven to be a commodity that they like to lean into. All right, let's go to 802, and then Sean, we'll get back to your Vince stuff, and we'll chat about that right after. But 802, we'll go to you next. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Zach, it's Nick in Brattleboro. How you doing, Mike?
Good,
how are
Nick.
You?
Yeah.
Hey, Nick.
Gotta send a huge shout out to my boy Sean. Good to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick on Lesnar, I'm done with Lesnar Reigns. I don't care to see it again. You guys talked about a bunch. I did want to bring up Raquel and Shayna. And I know Shayna, they don't think she's anything. You know, there's probably going to be a Shayna-Ronda match at some point. But they're just beating her left and right and tag teams, non-tag teams, and... I know Raquel is – I love Raquel, but I think Shayna was the wrong opponent for her tonight if they want to give her a winning streak.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, like you know, Raquel is clearly somebody that WWE is behind right now and is pushing. I mean, not just from a win – perspective, but from the perspective of, like, you know, that they're putting a little bit of a story behind her now, and how, hey, she lost her opportunity, and now she's kind of, you know, building back up in the Money in the Bank. So, like, I think you can argue that, hey, it's just not Shayna's time right now. But that said, it hasn't been her time at all since she came up to the main roster. And to your point, Nick, if they're going to get to a Shayna Baszler versus Ronda Rousey feud, they have to invest at some point in her and get her ready for that. And the thing is, she's a good I don't think she's going to main event WrestleMania with Ronda Rousey, but, you know, after SummerSlam, going into the fall with some of those B-level pay-per-views, like, she can be an effective opponent for Ronda Rousey, but she can't be if she's constantly beat the way that she is. So I think tonight, if you just look at it for what it was, it made sense. Raquel is on this journey back to a title opportunity. Money in the Bank's the way to do that. She beat Shayna Baszler. But when you broaden out the picture and you say to yourself, okay, but, you know, what is Shayna's value outside of this one match tonight? Like, you kind of cripple that a bit if you continue to treat her like this. So what did you think, Mike?
I mean, I'm with Nick about Baszler. Ever since she came up to the main roster, I was saying they could do more with her. They could do so much more with her. She's such a badass. And just tonight, watching her make her ring entrance, I thought fondly of how when she was newer to the main roster or predating that in NXT, her BMF walk, as Steve Austin would call it. And it, just seeing that was exciting. But she's been so watered down since then. Like, I've all but lost hope that they're going to do anything compelling with Baszler. And the sentiment is there, but I feel like I've just seen what we've seen, what they think of her. And that makes me think that we may never get that, a big match with Ronda, even at a sub pay-per-view. They're foolish not to do that because it's easy. It would be easy, but I just don't think that's what they think.
I don't think it is. Yeah. Go ahead, Nick.
No, it's just so sad with her is because in NXT, she would beat people up and then put them in the submission. Whereas I guess Vince saw, oh, she's a submission magician. And so her matches don't have any edge to them in that, because all she's always doing, you know, besides breaking someone's elbow with that stomp thing she does, it's an immediate... Carefield clutch, submission, Whereas when she was in NXT, when she was so hot, I mean, she was literally, she would pummel people. I mean, she would just, her matches with Bianca and with Rhea Ripley were just, I mean, you know, it's, listen, it's the brutal science. I mean, boxing and everything. I mean, you know, it's about the beauty of brutality. And, you know, she was so much of that. And, you know, it's unfortunate, that's all.
Well, she lost her edge, her brutal edge, but at least she has a rhyming nickname now. So you got to take these trade-offs, Nick.
Oh, my gosh.
The beautiful,
you know, the
brutalizer.
Other thing,
there you go.
The other thing with her, though, real quick, Nick, is that I think the thing that NXT that she had that she needs in particular is, like, she had that aura of being a winner and of being just, like, lethal in the ring. And it wasn't because she beat people up, but she carried herself in a way that I think sold that part of her work. And when that's your – when that is your character and you take that away, I mean, you take a big, big chunk of what made her get over the way that she did in NXT out. And then she's kind of left, like, grasping at whatever she can hang on to, like, you know, submission magician or whatever the hell it is. And that's not that's just not a good thing. But, like, she just doesn't look like she even has the same kind of confidence out there that she did in NXT. And I think it's because she can't and hasn't been allowed to lean into what made her tick when she was kind of leading up the women's division in the NXT brand. So, yeah, Mike, take that if you have any comments. But,
well, if you're asked to do something that isn't you, it's not going to come off very comfortably. That's all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I mean, you know, it's like you look at Mike Tyson early days, you look at Joe Frazier. I mean, these guys were scary. I mean, you know, Mike Tyson came out there with a towel just with a hole cut in it and no socks, and just it was like, oh my God, I don't want to get in the ring with him, you know. But anyway, the other thing is you on the Fireside Chat, which again I will second Sean's opinion. Everyone needs to go look at that, subscribe and follow and stuff. It's a great, you know, you can zoom in for a little bit or get, you know, it's great. You mm-hmm. should really be proud of yourself. But a couple days ago, you talked a little bit about Sasha, I can't say it anymore, the Sasha situation. And I was just wondering if anything further has developed, you know, in terms of her status and all that sort of stuff.
So, I mean, nothing else is trickling in outside of the same report that's been out there from Wrestling Inc. that's saying that she's been released. I know some other places have trickled in, you know, WrestleVotes, who has been pretty reliable with some news bits, commented that was the word going around backstage. But outside of that, it's not been fully reported like as to what's going on. So there's no real news outside of that, where it's that she's mm-hmm. likely gone, but it's like not fully confirmed at this time, and we haven't confirmed it at the Torch either.
Yeah, well, that's, I just was wondering if there's anything new, and with that, I will leave you guys to it, and have a great weekend. Always great to talk to you.
Yeah, you too, Nick. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend. So, Mike, 443, we'll get to you coming up next, 724 after that. But I want to hit on Vince McMahon. We're going about 40 minutes here. I want to make sure we give it some time. So callers, we will make sure to get to you. So hang on, and we'll get to you very, very soon. I'm not even sure what to say. I mean, Sean brought it up saying like, hey, the guy shouldn't be out there. I agree. Like, it kind of just was, you know, McMahon, in my opinion, just thumbing his nose at the whole situation. And, you know, he put himself in a position, he put people in the audience in a position where there's going to be people that cheer him for who he is. He got some of that. He got some boost too. But I guess I'm left Mike, just thinking like, man, it's just a poor attempt at a ratings stunt and an opportunity for McMahon to kind of just get out in the public and again, like publicly thumb his nose at the situation. And that's what it was. That's all it was. I'm sure McMahon got a kick out of it, but I just, you know, what place did that serve on the show this week? It just, you know, a news point, a talking point. I'm sure it did drive a rating, but in the end, I think you leave that segment going, who is that crazy old man out there and what the hell was that?
Yeah. I think you pointed out on the Fireside Chat today that the announcement that Vince would appear on SmackDown at 8 o'clock sharp Eastern came out within an hour of the news story. And in case anybody's like listening to this in the year 2040 and with no other context, Vince is for the moment stepping back or stepping down as CEO and chairman of WWE because of allegations of paying $3 million in hush money to somebody he had an affair with a couple years ago. So yeah, that I think it takes a certain personality type to do what Vince did tonight, to come out, say not much, but play his No Chance in Hell music, which for better or worse, guarantees a pop. The camera crew went out of their way to find people who were elated to see Vince in person. And I say personality type, and maybe I should say personality disorder, because I think it was super narcissistic. And like you said, thumbing his nose, but maybe with some kind of plausible deniability, because he wasn't overt about it. And thank goodness he didn't address the issue head on, because, I mean, that's an even a bigger mistake. And time will tell what people think of what he did tonight, besides the people that were just in that arena, which is a very small number compared to the opinions that are about to emerge about tonight's events. So, yeah, I think he can say or claim that he was just out to say he's proud to be here and he's promoting the show. And one thing I took away, if you want to try to delve more deeply into what little he said tonight, was that he recited the WWE signature, as he called it, which is that tag video they play at the beginning of every bit of programming they have, Then, Now, Forever, Together. And he recited that and said, and most importantly, together, which to me, if I'm being really cynical, sounds like somebody who, like the star player on a team, comes down with a big injury, but then has a pep talk for the rest of his teammates saying, no, we're going to get through this together. See how my shortcoming is all of our problem. And Vince saying, most importantly, together, like we're all in this together, like this shit that I've been pulling, you're all involved with it, but we can get through this together. Like we're on the same team. Maybe I'm reading into it too much, but I don't know why the hell else he mentioned that and specifically put that emphasis there, but I thought it was pretty inappropriate considering the allegations.
I don't think you're being cynical. I think that's good analysis. Cause I mean, like he could, I mean, the normal person thing to do would have been to not get yourself into this position to begin with. But if you know, you stipulate, okay, that happened, other normal person thing to do would be just to not go on TV. And so,
yep.
If you go on TV, you know, I mean, there's a reason for it. Like he hasn't been on television since WrestleMania. So this had meaning behind it. And I think there's a lot to that, Mike, because he's kind of pitting, you know, or he's lining up like the forces almost like, you know, the WWE fans, you know, hey, come on my side. We're in this together. And I also think you can psychoanalyze the first part of that too, which is like then, now, forever. Hey, I'm going to be here. You know, I'm here, you know, and I'm, you know, going to fight. I think you can analyze it a lot of different ways. Man, yeah. I mean, what a story. You know, I mean, you know, I don't. The thing is, like, you know, we could talk about the CEO situation and him stepping aside as CEO and Stephanie McMahon. I don't want to get too much into that. There'll be podcasts all this weekend and next week talking all about it. If you want to check out more of that immediately, we did have an impromptu kind of breaking news fireside chat on YouTube, Tyler Stage and I today, so you can check that out. But there's not much else to digest or discuss about the appearance because it was about, 10 seconds in the ring, maybe 15 or 20. Like, it was so short that, if you got in front of your TV at 7:05, you probably missed it.
Yeah. And let's say I'm not being too cynical, or no, let's say I am being too cynical, and at best, what he did was a pure ratings grab, and that's still pretty cheap considering what we got out of the segment.
Very much so. Like, and that's the thing too. It's like, okay, you're gonna do this thing where, okay, let's just look at it from the perspective of, even if, you know, it's completely self-serving. And Vince is Vince. He's going to do this. He's going to thumb his nose. But, yeah, the plausible deniability is, hey, but, you know, look, I'm a promoter. We got a big match. I'm going to just, you know, sacrifice myself, I guess, and do this to get a lot of eyes on the product. Like, first of all, nobody, like, if you said, okay, hey, I'm going to log on here and see, you know, what Vince McMahon's going to say. I'm just kind of interested in the periphery. And you watch that, you're not sticking around after that. Nobody's going to stick around after that if you're not a wrestling fan. And I know, like, so if that was the strategy, like, hey, this is what it is, I'm going to fight this, but I'm going to also try to get something out of it from a ratings perspective. Like, yeah, you probably did that in the first 5 seconds, but nothing about that, you know, I think if you're, you know, a casual wrestling fan or, you know, someone who's just going to check it out, you're rolling your eyes and you're saying, what the heck is that? What is this garbage? Like, and then you're shutting it off. Like, nothing about that appearance was entertaining. Nothing about it was newsworthy. It just was very much nothing, and at best, like you said, a ratings grab for 5 minutes.
As a standalone segment, it's not newsworthy. But was it newsworthy? Yes. Why? Yes. You have to expand the scope just slightly beyond tonight's show and just go to this morning's news breaking, and you'll see it's not a good reason why it was newsworthy. And yes, it's all going to be traced back to that, no matter what path you take or how cynical your view is on it. So yeah, I don't think a good look.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. And, you know, I guess, like, I didn't have any expectations really for what it was going to be. And so, like, this made just as much sense as anything else, but it just begs the question of, like, you know, like, why? Like, you just didn't have to do that outside of just, you know, showing the Vince McMahon attitude. And that's about it. Well, anything else, Mike, on that promo or on Vince McMahon in general?
Not really. Not unless you want to talk about the company dynamic. But like you said, there's a lot more to come on that.
Yeah, a lot more to come on that. And callers, if bring up, I'd love to hear your take on that segment, what you thought of it. You know, did you like it? Are you with us? Did you didn't? You know, make a case for sure. But yeah, definitely curious as to what everyone's take is on that. So let's get back to callers. 443, I believe this is Kyle in Baltimore. Kyle, what's up? Thanks for calling.
Hey, man, I have a lot on my brain after tonight and after just the entire day, I guess, the entire end of being everything. My God, was not expecting this. Okay, so first, I think I'll just I'll talk about the women, but I'll talk about this first. Oh, my God. Okay, so they made it official for SummerSlam, be Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. They made that official, like, instantly, like, minutes after SmackDown was over with. So that's happening.
Oh, dude, I did not catch that. Okay.
And so while we're doing this again, their match. Do you remember their match at WrestleMania? It sucked in the build too. It was like, man, oh my God, I don't like this at all. The fact even raises even that, and now I hear, and now since Rollins is a potential winner to win Money in the Bank, hopefully he will, they need to do what they did. I just heard someone just now talk about a possibility going back to 2015 where Rollins had cash in at SummerSlam, and it was 2015 all over again. Me being 18 all over again watching what happened that year. So what do you think about that whole thing? And then I'll just move on to something else.
So breaking news there, at least for me. Yeah, I just logged on to the WWE website. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Universal Championship at SummerSlam in the last man standing match. So there's your sizzle. If you were looking for it, that's how they're going to try to make this thing a little bit different than before. I like that. I mean, if you're going to go with it, you might as well just announce it and start building. Yeah, there's problems here. I mean, I just read a post on Twitter as we're talking, and they've had over 6 pay-per-view main events, Lesnar and Reigns, dating back to 2015. So I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. 3 WrestleMania main events. So there's a lot there. I think people are gonna be a little sour on this. Mike, but your thoughts on that match being announced as fast as it was, your thoughts on the last man standing stipulation, and then to Kyle's point about the Seth Rollins and the cash-in potential.
66% of the callers we've taken so far tonight are vehemently against this match. So let the record show the vast majority are against another rematch. The stipulation, well, it's interesting. This developed probably as we were talking here, Zach. And Wikipedia shows the match already as well with the last man standing stipulation. We said that's what it needed, something. And that is something. I'm surprised that it's instant with the conclusion of SmackDown that there is a stipulation, because I would think maybe they would want people to talk as we're talking now and think we've seen this before and have them develop into the stipulation in the next few weeks of programming. So I'm just a little surprised that they just kind of haphazardly say, oh, they're having a last man standing match at SummerSlam. Minutes after SmackDown went off the air. I don't know why that wouldn't come up as part of the creative build toward the match. Why just have it go right off the bat? I don't know why you would.
You kind of left some money on the table there, I think, for sure. You know, and I don't, I guess it could be just because Reigns isn't going to be around. Brock's not going to be around. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, there's certainly – that's a card you could have played to tell a story between now and SummerSlam at the end of July that now you can't play. So, yeah, I'm with you on that for sure. What about the cash-in potential, Mike? Like, is this a setup for that?
It could be. I tend not to think that far in the future. I know it's only 2 months away, but there's going to be 8 people in that Money in the Bank match. We only know who 3 of them are. But we're already talking about Rollins coming away the winner for some reason and then cashing in at SummerSlam. It could happen. Whatever. If it does, whatever. You know, it's in a lot of the ways, like, there's so much interchangeability with the stars in this company because there's no particular – I guess there's Roman, but it's not like The Rock or Mankind and Austin – and things like that. So it's, it feels, a lot of it kind of feels samey to me if you just scroll back far enough in its history, you know what I mean? So, if that would be something to spice it up, I guess, if nothing else, if Rollins wins the Money in the Bank of the next pay-per-view and then cashes in against either Roman or Reigns. Or sorry, Reigns or Lesnar.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Like, and I guess I don't like that idea right now anyway, because I think, like, look, Roman Reigns has beaten everybody. You know, he's on a path to a big money match with The Rock, potentially. I think he's now on a path to a big money match with Cody Rhodes, potentially, given the momentum that Cody has coming out of what happened at Hell in a Cell and the injury, et cetera, et cetera. I'd hate to see that slowed even a little bit with a cash-in that you know ultimately is not going to go anywhere. You know, like Rollins, okay, he could cash in, he could win the title, but you know that like Rollins is not the guy, so it'd be like a gimmick title win for him. And I just think there's a lot of equity in seeing Roman Reigns' shoulders pinned to the mat, 1, 2, 3, and you can only do that once. And get the most out of it. And I just don't think I'd water that down at this point for a Seth Rollins gimmick cash-in, as fun as it might be. So, yeah, that's where I kind of stand on that, Kyle. But we'll
yeah,
see. Maybe
I
mean,
feel
like if someone like go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking that it just seems to me that. But no, to me, Rollins is the favorite because not just because he's the only person that qualified right now for the men, but just from this year so far, he's just been insanely doing great things. And by this whole Cody Rhodes thing completely put him in a roadblock. They lost 3 straight pay per views from him, which I think that was a big mistake personally, but. And so he needed this momentum back again, and he's the best thing on Raw or WWE television, in my opinion. And so that's why I think that it just works. And I don't think Reigns is the answer. I don't think Lesnar is the answer. And they need the championship back on Raw. So I know Cody Rhodes was probably going to be the obvious choice to be that situation, but we're in the situation now with him not around, so with him being injured, so it's just a big problem all around. And that could happen, who knows, it may not happen, but that scenario of him cashing in at SummerSlam, but I still think he, to me anyway, is the top person I think is winning that briefcase. I'll go to the women now and move and do my original side with the whole the women with all that stuff. So from tonight, I was thinking, you know, I was kind of glad Raquel won, made sense, but watching this, I was like, you know what, I just can't wait to see the Becky one and Oscar on Monday, because that's what I'm most interested in, because I much have loved to see Becky win. I just fear that they do something stupid, have Oscar win, which I think that'll be a big mistake, but because as of right now, favorites as of right now, in my opinion right now is Raquel, is Liv, and I will say Becky Lynch, even though she didn't qualify yet. So what do you think about the development with the Women's Money in the Bank and the potential for what's going to happen there with now that Raquel is in there, now she's the big favorite as of right now? So what do you think about that?
Yeah, good question. Mike, what throw you first on that one. What do you think?
First, I want to say that in spite of what I said earlier about Baszler and how I think they've done nothing but miss the mark with her. That doesn't mean I thought it was a mistake to have Raquel Rodriguez win, get in the Money in the Bank, because I think she has a lot of upside. That would be exciting, I think, if she did win that match. I'm afraid the favorite might be Lacey Evans, given how much
Yeah.
energy they put into
yeah,
her
heard,
in the
heard,
last month
before,
or so.
Yeah.
And it feels, and she seems like right up WWE's alley in terms of her look and her military background, the patriotism angle. Like she's a walking tribute to the troops kind of feel, and I don't know that they're, given how they've angled her, I don't know that they want to show her lose. But with that said, I'm not behind it. I don't like the act. I'm not that big on her, and I wasn't very impressed with her on the microphone tonight, because she sat in at the announce table during that qualifier match. So I don't know. That's kind of what I think. I think the Asuka Lynch match should be something exciting. If they were smart, they might book that like a main event like we saw tonight for next Monday.
Yeah, so I have the same thought about Lacey Evans. I said it on the flagship show with Wade this week, that this is not advocating for it, but when you read the tea leaves and you read and think about, okay, who could be in the match, unless it's going to be some kind of surprise winner like Bayley. Like if Bayley were to come back and make her comeback, okay, you know, that – her winning would make sense. But outside of that, if you just look at who's in the match or who could be in the match without any surprises, I mean, like she has to be in the conversation, not because it's necessarily a good idea, but because they've put so much behind her again, like all those vignettes and just, you know, the act and the way she talks, and really like the essence of her character is overcoming and winning. And in her first big moment, if she doesn't do that, like that's, you know, that's questionable, I think. And then you add on top of it, like, does the Money in the Bank briefcase work for her? And I think it could. I mean, it would work better on her than it would, you know, another baby face, because I don't know. There's just some, you know, as a babyface, you got to be careful with that gimmick. So I don't think Lacey Evans is out of the question at all. Go ahead.
Here's my thought from the, from all that. Like I was thinking to myself, I'm thinking too about the title matches as well as saying who walks out as champion. That's another big indication of who's going to win the Money in the Bank. Now, I don't know, of course, the order, who knows, but let's just say that opens the show with that match with the Money Bay ladder match. I was thinking to myself, say like if Rhea wins the championship, then I think Liv is going to win the briefcase. Let's just say, and then if Ronda retains, then let's say if Ronda retains, then that a heel's going to have to win it, but then the only heel I can think of, at least right now, that's in the match is Becky. That she could go to SmackDown, but she doesn't really need to be on SmackDown. She can stay on Raw. So that's my thought. And if Bianca retains, it will still go to Becky. So because I just think that's the only thing. That's why it just depends who walks out as champion. Who walks out as champion? And also the match order as well. So I think that's also going to be a factor into it. So, I just think no matter what, I just feel like I'm just trying to envision Lacey as the Money in the Bank holder. I can't see it. I think why Becky could work or even Liv could work, at least they could talk and all that stuff. But it's like, that's what I could, and kind of good promos for me leading into like a tease or whatever. I think it works better when a heel wins it anyway. So, I mean, that's the other thing. I think then Alice move on to Ronda herself and Natalya. It's so fascinating to me for the difference between SmackDown and Raw. I am super invested in Raw and Rhea and Bianca as a match perspective, but I think both Bianca and Ronda are in a tough spot as baby faces, because on one hand Bianca's been doing has been very quiet ever since WrestleMania, and Ronda doesn't know how to shut up when she cuts promos. She doesn't work well in promos at all. So they're both lacking right now as champions, and it's just not working either way. I know people really enjoy Bianca Belair, and I do too, but her character is not working, and Ronda has not been working since she came back neither. So what do you think is going to happen moving forward with Ronda's run? And I know we're talking about SmackDown here, so stick to it on here. But if they – like, what is their plan with Ronda headed into SummerSlam, headed into, you know, moving forward after Natalya whenever she retains, which I think she will.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle. Gosh, that's a good question. I mean, we didn't see Ronda tonight, Mike. We got a Natalya promo. I think we both know where that's going at Money in the Bank. But for SummerSlam, though, yeah, there's not a long list of people. Like, and I think, you know, that's why when I you know, think about somebody like Bayley returning, like, to me, that's a SummerSlam level match, you know, Ronda Rousey against Bayley. After that, though, you know, yeah, you have Lacey Evans on SmackDown, and yeah, you could do, you know, Raquel Rodriguez again. But I don't know that I'm, like, totally sold on that either. So assuming that Ronda Rousey takes care of Natalya at Money in the Bank, what's your thought on what you do with Ronda heading into SummerSlam, given kind of the state of her act right now and it being a little cold and lifeless, in my opinion?
Yeah, she's not talk about unnatural. You know, we talked about Baszler being asked to do things that didn't make her tick, as you put it, like the way, like they did back in NXT. And Rousey being happy to see the fans and loving being on a pro wrestling show doesn't wear that well. As hard as she tries. And it is slim pickings, you know, the women's roster thins out really quickly. So I don't know. There's not good options unless they re-angle things and Evans steps up against Rousey, which, I mean, they're both good guys right now, but maybe they change that or something. Where's Charlotte Flair? I don't know what her status is and when she could return or if that's worth rehashing, you know. But Bayley coming back would be a big deal, no matter what. That would be maybe the best thing you could hope for, but I don't know that they're going to go with Rodriguez that you mentioned. It's just there's not many good options. I'm just sort of treading water here, you know.
I agree. I think you can. I don't know. I would say like you could call up some people from NXT, but I don't think that person is there or ready either.
Because they just treat Sasha right, and they treat Sasha like they treated Becky Lynch. That's the thing that that always blows my mind to me. Becky Lynch should be in the position that Sasha is right now, to be honest. I mean, look, it's the fact that throughout the entire, you know, remember all throughout the, since Becky came up, she was treated like an afterthought. It was all about Sasha and Charlotte for the longest time, and then Alexa, and then Carmella. He passed it off Becky until finally they decided to do something with her, try to make her a heel, but then she became the biggest baby face in the world, and now she is where she is now. That's the type of thing that's what I think I could only assume that's what Sasha's thinking to herself, saying, you know, this woman has been treated like garbage, but yet me, I keep winning the championship and then losing it in the first title defense every single time. Why is that? So I can see, and that's probably a thought she's thinking, I totally assume, as why. And now we're in a situation where they're lacking top stars in Sasha, because who was the only person, in my opinion, that made SmackDown watchable or interesting. So yeah, that's the whole thing that I thought about for a while now, like for the last few weeks, I've been thinking about that. I was watching what Becky's doing. I mean, it's SmackDown still isn't a good show still. I don't know. It's, again, they're going back to Reigns and Lesnar is like, again, what is happening to this show? SmackDown used to be a great show, but I don't know what they need to do. I have to leave it at that, I guess.
Yeah. Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate the passion as always, and the good topics. So thank you, and have a good weekend. We'll talk soon. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Let's keep it rolling here, folks. 814. We will go to 814 next. 814, thank you for holding. Thank you for waiting. State your name and where you're calling from tonight.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Hey, Ryan. Great to hear from you. What are your three questions today?
My first question is on the Roman Reigns title defenses for this year. How many defenses do you see him making to now till the end of 2022 on TV or pay-per-view? Or
that's a good question. Man, I mean, I think – well, three for sure. Like, I think you're going to get him – defending the title at SummerSlam, obviously. You're going to get him defending the title at the stadium show in the UK. There's a Saudi Arabia event also in the fall. I think October, November. I don't know. Somebody check me on that date. But so those three for sure are happening. And then I'll venture to say, you know, one or two more. So I'll go with five. What about you, Mike?
Definitely four.
Okay. Definitely four. I like it.
Yep.
Which, what are the four?
The ones you mentioned plus Survivor Series.
Ah, okay. Okay, so no champion. Well, he is the champion, right. Duh, Zach. He's the champion of both brands. yeah, okay. All right, very good. Yeah. I mean, and that's – God, it's weird to say it because I think, like, whether it's four or five, that doesn't seem like a lot. You know, it doesn't seem – I mean, that's not your normal, you know, cadence for a WWE or a champion in WWE. And so, you know, for one – like, and that's going to have its pros and cons, I think, Mike. Like, the pros of it is that you get to have a night like tonight when you are going to see Roman Reigns defend the title. Like, it's going to matter a lot. They're going to be able to put a lot of juice behind it. So whether it's on pay-per-view or whether it's on TV – the fact that there's less title defenses and less Roman Reigns appearances are going to enhance what those mean going forward. But then the con is what we're finding out right now, though, is like where do you go if you don't have that on either of your shows? And I think that's we're seeing that issue kind of come to light now too. So if you had to pick, Mike, which you know, what do you prefer?
I would go with the lesser title defenses.
Mm-hmm.
If for no other reason that it doesn't seem to be the norm for WWE in recent years, I like bucking that trend, and I like the making those feel more special. Like, tonight is going to be memorable a year from now.
Yeah.
Because of this close match that Riddle had with the champion that hadn't defended it, the belt since WrestleMania, as opposed to doing it every month at all the in-between pay-per-views, plus the occasional TV show, you know. But you bring up an interesting point about there being two shows in a split roster when he's got both belts, which is why I wonder, like, at what point are the belts going to be split somehow so that they can spread that out a little more? Because they do have so much TV time to fill, and if you're resigned to the method that I'm preferring, that's a lot of TV time without a champion. But it's also one thing, though, that he's just decidedly not around, because there's also a difference between the champ being around and being in the eyes of fans live in arenas, but just not defending the championship very often versus him just not being around, gone for weeks, off TV, not in arenas. So that's another factor to consider.
Yeah, it is. And even like when you look at like Brock, oh, he was the part-time champion. Yeah, he was, but he had one of the belts, you know? So the other belt on the other show was still there. and that's absolutely, it's a great thing to call out, because it's not apples to apples as far as that goes. I'm with you. I go that direction, and I think, you know, you can talk about, yeah, but like they don't have the depth without Reigns and without people chasing that title, and it's like, okay, that's a different issue. You know, I think the Reigns play is okay. I mean, that's, I think, generally a way to do strong business is, you know, make those title defenses special, make that title mean something. But that doesn't mean, you know, sacrifice the whole rest of your card to do it. I mean, I think, you know, if WWE right now had Reigns doing what he's doing and a stronger IC title picture or a stronger US title picture, like you could lean on those belts, but they can't right now because they have not done the work to get those belts enough prestige where people actually believe that they're significant and that they matter. You could argue that they're trying to kind of repair that right now, where you've got a major babyface on Raw in Bobby Lashley, you know, going after that title, and which Theory owns, and Gunther's got a pretty good push since his main roster debut to the Intercontinental Championship. So, you know, you can see those pieces being put in place. I'll believe it when I see it, but you certainly can make that argument for sure. Ryan, back to you for your second question.
The second question is on Michael Cole, and I thought he made a pretty major mistake during that Riddle Roman Reigns match that he called. He did like a version of the Rock Bottom. He called it the choke slam, and obviously what I think they were trying to do is like the Rock and Roman Reigns at that spot, you know, as the Rock, you know, that's his main move, and Pat McAfee like stepped in right away and corrected Michael Cole. So do you think that's like one of the biggest mistakes he's made recently on commentary? Because it's pretty obvious that I think Vince might have said something to McAfee to correct him on that.
Yeah, I think someone definitely corrected him on that in the headset for sure. I noticed the same thing. It kind of so Reigns has done that before, that type of like Rock Bottom esque move, and it looked better then than it did tonight. Like it looked more like a chokeslam tonight than it did like a Rock Bottom knockoff. I do think that's like a little Easter egg for people that want to find them. I don't think it's Michael Cole's biggest mistake, no. But, yeah, probably one that he wants back, because Michael Cole usually is pretty darn perfect out there from what they ask him to do, and he carries a really big load on commentary. But, yeah, I'd imagine he's had some more glaring mistakes than that one, Mike.
I think his biggest glaring mistake was when he used to frost the tips of his hair, if I'm not mistaken.
On Livewire, yes.
And we have to go back quite a few years to find that, so I might be willing to forgive, but not forget. As for that call tonight, I think I remember it. I remember Cole calling a choke slam, and it wasn't a choke slam, and I think McAfee corrected him and said it's a uranagi, which is what I thought it looked like. I didn't instantly think of The Rock when I saw it, because a lot of wrestlers do a uranagi. And
yeah,
I just thought, hey, yeah, Cole miscalled the move, and that's all I thought of it. I didn't go to The Rock, but I'm not saying that's not an Easter egg either, but that's all I saw there.
Very good. Back to you, Ryan, with your final question.
Probably questions on Stephanie McMahon. Do you see her making any speeches since she's now the head of WWE temporarily, at least like on Raw or SmackDown, just to pop a rating?
Well, before the Vince thing tonight, I would have said absolutely not. But I think now we know that they literally will do just about anything to pop a rating. And I don't think, you know, Stephanie McMahon is immune to that, if that's what Vince wants. And assuming they're on the same page these days, which, you know, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you might think that they're not. And maybe they're not. I don't know. But taking that out of it, No, I don't see her doing that, mainly because, like, the company is in a just a interesting situation right now, to put it nicely. Like, it's not a good one, and I don't think you want to. I don't think you want to play games with it any more than they just did, 3 hours and 24 minutes ago. Like, even that is certainly questionable. And so, you know, Stephanie's stepping in. She's going to operate as the interim CEO and chairwoman of WWE while the investigation goes on into Vince McMahon and the those payments and the NDAs and et cetera, et cetera. So I don't see her messing around with that, Mike. I think, you know, if they want to pop a rating, Vince McMahon can do it. But Stephanie's got, like, truly has some bigger fish to fry as CEO right now. What do you think?
I agree, and I would just add that if they tried to do a similar stunt with Stephanie, it's going to have already immediate diminishing returns after how little substance we saw tonight from Vince, you know, the patriarch. So I don't know how much value they would think Stephanie coming out would have after what we saw tonight.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think it'd be even different if Stephanie was like stepping into the CEO job permanently, like whether it was Vince, like, hey, I'm taking a step back, here you go, Stephanie, or like this issue, you know, happened and Vince got booted or really left, like, for sure. And then you have like a true changing of the guard moment where, okay, you know, Stephanie's the CEO, maybe she does want to make some kind of appearance on television. But that, it's different when she's kind of in this interim position where, like, she has some power clearly in that role, but Vince is still around and it's still, you know, it's still there. He's still in charge of creative, even though he's stepped aside on his on the CEO stuff. So it's just not clear cut. I think you'd have a better chance of seeing her, Ryan, if she was just officially named CEO and was going to run the company into the foreseeable future. Since that's not the case, yeah, I don't not foreseeing that in the cards. But hey, weirder things have happened, like we saw a few hours ago.
Okay, thank you, Ryan, for taking the call.
Hey, thanks for making it. Appreciate it. All right, we will keep it up rolling here, Mike. Let's see. 860. Let's go to 860. 860, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Jay in Hartford. Good evening, Zach and Mike. How you guys doing?
Hey, Jay. Doing good. Good to hear from you. What'd you think of SmackDown?
I thought it was a decent show. That main event was really, really good. I'll throw a few things out there and let you guys get any of the callers maybe waiting. The Vince segment, I missed. I was trying to get to the TV. It was like 8:02. I'm like, it's going to be over. Or it may have been 8:04 by the time I got the television on and Cole and McAfee were running down the show. And so I knew right then there probably wasn't much to it, and there wasn't. Or you could say there was a lot to it, depending on how you want to look at it, because I thought I don't know if you say disrespectful, but or, you know, playing on our intelligence. I mean, we're not in this together. I'm not in that at all, man. That's like all you, you know. So like, why would you say that we're all in this together?
There you go.
One of the first things I noticed, yeah, exactly, about tonight's show was Drew McIntyre. So something that stood out to me, like, I thought he was a fan of his work when he won the title from Brock Lesnar, and he would come out. It was the pandemic era, I guess you call it, and he'd come out week after week on Raw, and he cut promos, and he was just like the coolest thing. And he'd have on his leather jacket and his jeans, and there was no kill, there was no sword. And so tonight, when he came out in jeans, so yeah, I'm calling about Drew McIntyre's jeans, right? When he came out in jeans tonight, it took me back to that Drew McIntyre, and I'm like, nothing against kilts, but it just immediately took me back to a time when he was a lot cooler. I'm not a fan of the sword. I thought, you know, bring it out for big matches or whatever, but I just think I wish they could kind of get back to the Drew McIntyre, you know, how he was when he won the championship from Lesnar. He was super over before that, you know, leading up to that, the Rumble win and everything. But that just stood out to me. Oh, and actually, it wasn't just the jeans. It was the fact that they referred to him as the Scottish Warrior, which the only reason that stood out to me is because they recently were calling him the SmackDown Warrior. And there was one episode of SmackDown where Cole almost said Scottish Warrior, and he corrected himself. And I'm thinking, well, isn't the guy still Scottish? Like, what's wrong with saying Scottish Warrior? But there's something about WWE and their branding, you know, and when they're pushing something, it's like, don't you dare call him the Scottish Warrior. He's the SmackDown Warrior now. And I'm like, well, two things can be true, you know? So they called him the Scottish Warrior, and they and he had on the jeans. So I don't know if that stood out to anyone, but perhaps that's all to build to, you know, if he's going to get the main event when they go overseas. But what do you think of Drew, I guess, and his trajectory right now, so to speak?
So I think, you know, yeah, I don't want to say Drew's in rebuild mode, but he kind of is. And it's not because he's been presented as, like, you know, like less than or ineffective. He's not doing jobs. He's not losing. But, you know, he just has not been in that, you know, people in WWE, you're up, you're down a bit. And he's been down, like, on that second tier, really since his move to SmackDown. And this is a good first step, I think, in kind of getting him hot again I think that will be the match in the UK, Reigns against Drew, big stadium show. I would keep pushing him. I see him as the Money in the Bank winner. I think it'd be really refreshing to see him win Money in the Bank. He kind of gets that big victory. He's made a really big deal about winning the briefcase so that he can, like, wrestle for the WWE Championship again. And with that show already announced and on the horizon, like, you could actually have a babyface do the right thing, win Money in the Bank, and then call your shot. Hey, Roman, I want you on this show in the UK, like, on whatever day that is, September 4th, September 3rd. That'd be a way, I think, to tell that story, to put over a babyface in the Money in the Bank match, but not have him cash in that briefcase in a heelish way, which we see all too often. That's my pick right now. But I think he's on a good trajectory. I think that's a big match, him versus Reigns at that stadium show. You know, I think they'll be able to do what they did tonight, which is build some real doubt as to, hey, man, Drew's gonna could Drew win this thing? And I think they're on that path. They're not there yet, but I think that they've got some time. And, you know, hey, being on the path is half the battle. But Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, Drew has been a long-term discussion topic that really sprang from his performance and how much work he put in during as Jay called it, the pandemic era, or the Thunderdome era, as I'll call it. Man, I miss the Thunderdome. he had a lot of the company on his shoulders back then, and it was different than it is now. And they have sort of reverted to, I think, their less thoughtful approach with Drew, which is what I think they're now doing with Gunther, by the way, which is to sort of rely on his, like, his ancestry as his being a gimmick. And those come from Scotland, right? So get a kilt on him. And at one point they fought battles with swords, so get him one of those as well. And it's right. Cartoonish. It's cartoonish. And I have less buy-in for something like that. Compared with the guy in the leather jacket and jeans who is just a badass. I think if Cody were never a part of the picture, Drew could, if they could tap back into that, could be the one to dethrone Reigns with a proper build back up to what he had back then. And we're talking about that again now, and I almost wonder if he somehow left a bad taste in the mouths of the creative team because he was so heavily associated with the pandemic and there being no fans and the Thunderdome, and they think, like, that's what Drew's role was. And, I mean, this isn't what I want, but it's just something that occurred to me as we're talking here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, like, that is just, I don't know, a complete miss on their part. I mean, I look back at that time and I say, yeah, you know, it's much more enjoyable to watch a pro wrestling show with fans. I mean, if anybody out there is a VIP member and listened to my On the Canvas VIP audio show kind of on the art of wrestling, like, that's a big part of it. Like, that crowd reaction is a huge part of, like, what happens out there. But it's not like Drew drove the fans away. Like, that's the hand he was dealt. And I really think about, okay, what would have those shows been at that time without Drew as champion? I mean, he was doing a lot of things. He was kind of playing to the camera, which, you know, they never really did up till that point. Just trying new things. I remember he uttered that line once, the Tiger King line, like, "Hello, all you cats and kittens," or something like that. That was from that show. He's saying that on the way to the damn ring, and it's like, you know, I don't know what else you were supposed to do with that if you're him in that situation. So if that's the case, I mean, boy, that's a rough go. Mike, do you think, like, we don't know really how hot Drew McIntyre really was coming out of that WrestleMania win, because we know kind of how hot he was going into the pandemic. He had a couple really good weeks, big Royal Rumble win that I thought got over nicely, but we don't know like what the real kind of fan reaction was to that run. Do you have a sense, like, does he need another big win? Like, are people going to be behind that? Like, where are you at as far as, like, the audience and him right now?
I think he could get charged up pretty easily if they move away from the cartoonishness, like, permanently get rid of the kilt, get rid of the sword, and get rid of the Scottishness is my entire identity. And it would work really quickly if you were to start working with Roman. And it's believable.
Yeah, I agree.
More believable than Riddle. Like, Riddle was like an underdog, as, by the way, Cole told us repeatedly, both of them.
I know.
Like, what an upset this would be. Like,
a miracle.
A miracle, for goodness sake. That's a what a long shot. For Drew, that would be a lot different, and it wouldn't take much adjustment to get him there. So that's honestly the best thing on the current roster with in Cody's absence.
Yeah. I'll throw it back to you in a minute. But I just need to comment on the sword. The sword just drives me crazy. Like, it drives me nuts. It's like it'd be one thing, I could even understand it if, you know, toy Drew McIntyre swords were flying off the shelf or something like that. And, you know, Drew wanted to keep the merchandise check thick. And so, hey, here we, you know, I'm doing it. But that's not happening. It's just, it's a thing. Like, he's threatened people with it so many times. It's not believable because we know Drew McIntyre is not going to, you know, slice the arm off of somebody out there. Like, it's just time to, like, hang that up. And I said my piece. There we go. Rant over. Jay, back to you. Any other comments?
I love it. So one more thing on the sword. I took my – well, he's 7, but he was 6. This was back in November. I took my son to his first WWE show. And his favorite wrestler, I'll say, is Roman, right?
And that particular night, he told me he was, you know, he also likes Drew. So I've been showing him who, and when Drew McIntyre comes on the screen, you know, I'm like, hey, Trevor, come here, Drew's here, whatever. And he's like, oh, Drew. But outside of that, he doesn't really remember Drew. Like, he hasn't asked for a sword. He hasn't asked for, you know, any Drew McIntyre, you know, merchandise or action figure. Roman, he wants a Roman hoodie. He wants the glove. He wants – so it's like you said, the merchandise has been flying off the shelves, and my son has proved he claimed Drew was his favorite for one night, but has never asked for anything Drew-related. So
Thank you to your son for corroborating my opinion. Thank you.
I got a couple more things about it. You may have other callers. The main event, I was actually all leading up until tonight. I felt like probably most people saying, you know, it's a given, Roman's going to win, and that's fine. After the whole shakeup with, you know, now Vince is under investigation and Stephanie is taking over, Bruce Pritchard has kind of mentioned on his podcast, like when someone, you know, say if a card's been advertised and someone can't make the show, you kind of shake things up and you give them something even better, right? So this wasn't that scenario per se, but I figured with everything going on, maybe they wanted to, you know, take people's minds away from the Vince investigation, shake things up, and give Riddle the title. So I actually thought throughout the night, like, they might just put the title on Riddle to draw attention away from, you know, this investigation. So I'm not sure if anyone else kind of had that line of thinking that that was a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, crossed my mind for sure. We talked about it this morning on the Fireside Chat. Same thing. It's like, you know, if your plan was to not switch the title, will do you decide to switch it just for the sake of news? And then if your plan was to switch the title, like, do you say, now is not the time because of things going on? So yeah, I think, like, I thought that could be a factor. It ended up not being, but you know, I just, like, given what we've seen the last 48 hours, I just don't put anything by WWE right now, like, or Vince McMahon, you know, like, the power's kind of up in the air. There's a lot of balls in the air, a lot of confusion. And so, yeah, who knows what's going to come out of there. I think today was the right call, Mike, like, in keeping the belt on Reigns. But you know, yeah, you could certainly make the argument that, like, hey, yeah, let's do something here. Generally, I fall to the side of, you know, you don't do a title change just to do it. Like, you don't do it for shock value. You don't do it for that reason, because that you can get something out of that quickly in the short term, in the very short term, most likely, especially with the wrestling news cycle the way it is these days. But long term, it hurts you. You know, it really does. And they have so much going with Roman right now, you know, they got to see that, they have to see that through. So I think, Mike, they made the right call in the end.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I had the exact same thought this morning, though, about Riddle and how this match is already established, but then this massive news story broke the day of that show and match. And only under those circumstances would I have considered that Riddle might have won. And without that story breaking the same day, I wouldn't have considered it a possibility.
Yeah.
And kind of like what you were saying, Zach, it would be wrong to take the belts off of Roman after all the work they've done with the Bloodline, the Usos, Heyman, because of a news story, to use that as a deflection.
Right.
And what a short-lived deflection it would be. So, yeah, I think that would have been a bad move, but I totally considered it this morning when I saw that news story, and I thought, I wouldn't put it past them. Like, you know what I mean? It wouldn't have blown my mind if Riddle had won, because they've probably made even hastier decisions than that in the past.
Yeah. No, well said. Well said. I agree. Jay, back to you. Any final points tonight?
Yes, sir. I'll say this last point, and I'll mute. Gunther, still prefer Walter, but Gunther, He, last week, I kind of felt like, oh, why did they put the title on him so soon? And I called in, I don't know, Reese, maybe last Friday, but Wade and whomever was with him last week kind of talked me out of it, like to say, you know, it wasn't too soon, you know, it was the right time. So now tonight he sold me on it. He sold me on, yes, he should be the Intercontinental Champion. When he says, you know, their whole gimmick has been the mat is sacred, the mat is sacred. And so Kaiser, I want to say, I haven't his second there. When he talked about, you know, the mat is sacred and also the Intercontinental Championship is sacred, he just brought prestige back to the title, like, in that moment. And then all Gunther said was, I'm your Intercontinental Champion. And I'm like, this guy, keep the belt on him. The belt was on his shoulder, looking like the most prized possession in all of wrestling. I think Gunther just has there's an aura about him and the way that he carries himself, and it seems as though he really believes the mat is sacred. And they got that over Strong in NXT, I believe. And so I think he's going to do wonders for the Intercontinental title. So with that, I'll mute and listen to you guys.
Appreciate it, Jay. Thanks so much for calling, man. Great topics and great to hear from you as always. Have a good weekend. Yeah, Mike, Gunther is Intercontinental Champion. I agree. I think he looked the part tonight. I think, you know, the title is more relevant already. And on top of that, as long as he can, if you can put some challengers in front of him that he can work with, like, he should be able to have some really good matches throughout this run too. So he's been I don't want to say a pleasant surprise, because we all know how talented the guy is and the kind of matches he can have and the kind of just presence that he has out there. And you saw that a little bit in NXT too, in NXT UK and his short run in on, you know, NXT 2.0. But it is a present surprise, because there's just not there's not that many case studies out there of talent coming from NXT and integrating into the main roster successfully. And so far, I think Gunther has, and you know, there's a lot left to show too. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. He's super intriguing to me. And we talked earlier tonight about if only they could lean on their secondary titles more, while Roman has both of the main titles and is kind of an absentee performer right now.
Right.
But a good start. Gunther is different. Another thing, you said a case study about NXT talent coming to the main card. We could also say Europeans on the main card. Like Cesaro is maybe the best recent example of somebody who just decidedly is never going to be a top guy because of his foreignness, you know, famously too Swiss. The act is a good one. I don't like the foreign menace thing they're doing tonight. I don't know if they had started that really before tonight, and this is not a long-lived thing. See, I agree with everything Jay said, but except he left out the parts about saying we're going to see to it that no American ever holds this title again. And it's so weird. Like, that was antiquated 20 years ago. And
yeah.
We're just supposed to – what the company wants is for crowds to chant USA when they come to the ring. And it's like, I don't hate people from other countries, you know,
just right.
On that basis. And I don't know. I don't like that. I wish they were doing everything else that they're doing right now except for that. And I even liked what they – how they talked about the Intercontinental title that Jay kind of mentioned – and where it started, and I know the sham of the belt and the circumstances under which it was first won is kind of like a sham, but it's the kayfabe storyline and how many non-Americans have won it. Like, just I don't mind the idea of tying it to how many international wrestlers have held this title, mm-hmm. and thinking about it with prestige. That's what you should do with a secondary title, especially one that's been around as long as it has. And I would be shocked if it develops into something that becomes a big deal, because it's been so long since the company's looked at it that way, and it would be so beneficial to build it back up. This is a good start. I don't like the Foreign Menace thing, and I like everything else about Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser.
Good point about the Foreign Menace thing. I think you're right. I think here's the deal. Like, it's like, I think you can, I think in this promo, you know, it kind of, you could get away with it a little bit because you were alluding to some other parts of that. But if it goes too much further, like, and I'd say even like just a teeny tiny step further, to your point, it becomes one note real, real quick. And it goes from an act that can, like, I think be a main event act to one that can't long-term. Like, yes, you can plug in Foreign Menace, you know, into a world title match one time, you know, and beat him, and that's it. But, you know, I think what you've seen here is like a guy that can, you know, be a regular at the top of the card at some point. But you're absolutely right, Mike. You can't do that as the Foreign Menace. It's one note at best, and at worst, like you said, I mean, it's antiquated for 20 years. It's really illogical at this point, outside of the, you know, kind of lowest common denominator, let's get a USA chant going. And yeah, I mean, you're at very smart to point that out. I think you're on point there. Okay, let's wrap up the caller portion right there. Thank you to everybody who called. If I didn't get to you, I apologize. Tried to get to everybody we could and give everybody time, but I do apologize if you're waiting. But thank you very much for calling. Thank you very much for listening. We're going to finish up with a few emails here, real quick, rapid fire. First one is from Joe in New York. He says, "Hey guys, when I watched this main event tonight, two things stuck out. Something is very wrong with the fact that Roman's match tonight was three times longer than his WrestleMania match. Second was the fact that Brock being back smells like Vince telling Stephanie this is what you need to do. The fact that Vince is still in charge of creative tells you all you need to know. Vince is going to be calling the shots through text, FaceTime, and Skype. Stephanie is going to be the mouthpiece, but Vince will be calling the shots, and Stephanie will be the puppet for the public and media. Vince went out there just to get one more pop for himself, just to hear his music one more time. He looked every bit like a man who's going to be 77 in 2 months. With his limp voice, I think he just wanted one more pop, and he got it." Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I mean, so we talked about a lot of that, but the Stephanie angle, like, chime in on that real quick, Mike. I mean, I think, you know, you could look at it and go, yep, she's going to be the puppet public figure. You could also not look at it that way. And I think Vince is going to be calling a lot of shots for sure. I don't think Stephanie had anything to do with Brock Lesnar. But I think Vince is going to be calling the creative shots. We know that already. They've said that. So no real surprise there for me.
Yeah. I'll just give a brief rundown of what my thoughts were as the story broke this morning.
Yeah.
When I first saw the headline of Vince McMahon stepping down from CEO, I thought, no way. Because even though he's much older than us, I thought there's a good chance we never see him step down. If we might live 1,000 years and never see him step down, because he's like this crazy mythical being. But then when I started going through the article and got to the part where it says he's remaining on as head of creative, I thought, oh, I see. I get it. So not a whole hell of a lot is going to change. And in a weird way, I was kind of let down, because I don't get that excited watching WWE product very often these days. But what would be exciting is, like, if Vince were completely removed from the product and we saw a major shakeup and the product actually change, which I think it inevitably would. And that's not going to happen, at least not in the next month or two. So, and a part of that was me thinking what the emailer is saying about, as long as Vince is around, and especially if his daughter is named his his replacement in the meantime, yeah, they're probably going to be communicating, and if you didn't know about the story, you would never know anything changed by watching the product.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that's true. I mean, and that, I think we don't know how this thing's going to go at this point. I mean, there could be other stories waiting to come, or there could be nothing, you know, and it's just this, and this wraps up, the investigation happens, and then, you know, Vince is back, and we all kind of remember this time as like, hey, do you remember that story that day? We don't know, but I would not expect any major, creative changes or tone shifts at this point. And I don't know that I would, like, even with Vince gone, you know, I don't know. Yeah, you probably get some sort of creative, like a different creative direction. But, you know, WWE very much is a formula right now. They do what they do, and that's what they do. And they stick to that pretty much universally. You know, I think that was, to me, that was kind of what was so excited about the, you know, the Cody Rhodes match at Hell in the Cell, because it felt really different. Like that story and that injury, like it just felt different, and you don't get that very often. And Vince in, Vince out, you know, there's no guarantee that things, you know, get exponentially better with him gone either. Like there's always that potential. There's certainly somebody out there with worse ideas, I'm sure. Shane McMahon usually has a couple of them. We have to wait and see how it plays out, but I wouldn't expect a tone change. And Mike, let me know if you disagree, but I had no tone change for quite some time.
No.
Yeah.
I think if Vince and all of the McMahons are gone, if Triple H is gone, and it's left to Khan and company, and also Vince's cronies are all gone, then I might start thinking about a tone change, because that feels like the old guard might be eliminated at that point. It just seems immovable at this point. And there's been big speed bumps in their past as well. Like, this isn't the first huge speed bump for Vince McMahon. And you know what I mean? So the cronyism being eliminated still seems a ways off to me. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, Zach in Texas. Gentlemen, I'm still wrapping my head around the events of today. I firmly believe that I'd see a report of Vince's dead body being discovered in his office before I saw him step down, even temporarily. The fact that CNN picked up the story means it's getting mainstream attention, which means more stuff is likely to come, which I think Vince knows. The whole appearance on SmackDown was a waste of time and overshadowed the interest in the title match. Still, I know Vince is arrogant, but to come out and show your face when you're facing sexual misconduct, and given the Wall Street Journal referring to other NDAs and potential allegations, it's just next-level arrogance. I'm deeply disappointed that the Minneapolis crowd popped for Vince. I thought Wade's people were better than that, but they do cheer for Kirk Cousins. So what can you say? Ouch, Zach in Texas with the Vikings burn and the Minneapolis burn all in one email. Zach, thanks. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, I agree with a lot of what Zach said. Did you think that the title match kind of was overshadowed by the Vince thing? I didn't really feel that way.
No, I mean, they put them as far apart as they could have on the show. You know, Vince opened the program, and then they closed the show with the title match, with the exception of Brock's appearance at the very tail end. So no, not really. And in what Vince did wasn't that noteworthy, unless you try to read into it as I did. If you didn't do that, then no, it was just kind of a, I'm trying to think, wouldn't it be weird if you didn't know anything about the news story and Vince made this appearance? Like, what would you think if you're that viewer? Like, what is Vince doing?
Yes.
Especially if you watch every week, but that's all you watch. You don't take in any news, but this is pretty mainstream, the story that broke this morning. So,
oh, man. I mean, if you for some reason didn't see that news and you're a regular watcher of SmackDown, I mean, you very much are going like, what is happening? Why is this happening? Why is it so short? And what is he talking about?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean that is potentially very confusing. Now I venture to guess that a large majority of people watching knew what the story was, but still, I mean, you know, there's probably a handful out there that didn't, I would imagine.
Yeah. And just to reiterate something I said earlier in the episode, the emailer said that Vince is arrogant, and I just think this is something far beyond arrogance.
Wait, what did you call it earlier? Because that was good. We were talking about personality trait, and then you said, actually, let me run that back. Personality disorder.
It's a disorder, and
yes.
It's narcissism.
Yes. But I mean, it's well said. I mean, yeah, there's that. It takes a special kind of quality, and one that's not good, in my opinion, to do that tonight, and especially make it as nothing as it was. And we'll go to James and Clemson here, who comments on that. Good segue. James is Wade and guest, Zach and Mike. I just want to make it known that I took the bait, but was not hooked. I thought WWE had a real chance to make some headlines at the top of the show and was looking forward to it all day. I am somebody who does not watch WWE, and the whole McMahon segment was a good reminder of why I stopped in the first place. Not even an apology. I know that I'm not alone, too. My friend was watching at home, and he did the same thing. You know, AEW is not perfect at all, but at least they don't do this crap. James and Clemson. Thanks, James. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll double back again to what I said about, the minimal amount of plausible deniability that Vince can have. He wants to come out and get in the face of this thing that exploded this morning, but he can't say he's not going to talk about it directly, because that would be completely damning. In this way, he could claim that I just wanted to come out and promote the program and say how proud I am to be here and be a part of this family in the WWE universe. What's wrong with that? You know, I still work here, and I grew this company, and I love being here. And I don't buy into any of that, of course. But I think that's why it wasn't going to be something that would hook a viewer like that.
Yeah. Jane Hartford sent us an email right after the call. He said, I called in but had to follow up and say that I totally in all caps, agree with Mike regarding Gunther's antiquated foreign heel gimmick. I didn't like any of that. And with that, I'm a little down on the whole thing again. Hopefully they don't go back to it and he can proceed with bringing prestige to the Intercontinental Championship. Happy Father's Day and happy Juneteenth to all that celebrate. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it. Same to you. You know, good for you, Mike. You made a really good point there.
Well, yeah. And I wanted to actually tack on to something that Jay mentioned in his son, because he said that his son is kind of he's into Roman, and he tries to get him into Drew, but his son's only interested in Roman merchandise. And I think there's a theme with WWE where they try to appeal to children by making Drew into something more cartoonish. And it doesn't work because children don't want to be catered to. I think children want to be into what's cool and what their dads or parents or whoever they look up to think is cool. And it's not always something designed for children. You know what I mean? So that's why Roman, who's cooler than Drew right now, is hitting with Trevor, because Trevor knows that's cooler than Drew right now.
Yep. I mean, exactly. I mean, so I've got two young girls and, you know, you can, this is another level, but I think it speaks to your point. Like they have so many toys, right? But you know, they want the thing that I have, or they want the thing that they're not supposed to have, or maybe that, like, the remote for my one-year-old, like, oh, she gets her hands on the remote, but, like, you know, the 12 toys that she has on the wall, like, couldn't, you know, I'm not interested in those. I want this stuff over here. And it's so true. Like, it's like, and I think that's, like, part of wrestling, you know, is kind of, like, the outlaw nature of it, where, you know, man, am I supposed to be watching this? Am I supposed to be watching Steve Austin, like, drink 12 beers in the ring? Like, I don't know. Like, it's pretty interesting. But, like, if Steve Austin watered down that gimmick and then, you know, they sold, you know, fake, I don't know, Coke cans or something like that. Like, meh, like that's not gonna, it's like part of the allure there was connecting to something that just, that felt authentic. And I think, you know, when you're force fed that in wrestling, that, you know, that it's not, you don't get as good of a connection. I think that was Roman's problem as a babyface, you know, 4 years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Mike, geez, great show. Thank you to all the callers. Thank you to our emailers. We'll put a bow on it right there. Mike, before we wrap up, again, thanks for joining, but talk about all the great things you do for PWTorch.com on a weekly basis and monthly basis with the pay-per-view covers that you do.
Yeah. If anybody wants to find me on Twitter, they can. I'm at TheMikeShow42. And every week for PWTorch.com, I write the article covering WWE's main event program. That's something that airs streaming on Hulu and then eventually on Peacock. It has two matches every week from Raw's midcard and then some recap things. So I cover those matches and I recap their recap so we can kind of see what the company thinks is worth telling us about that happened in the past week. And every month I write the kickoff report for WWE's premium live events. So I cover those more or less live. And a lot of people I know don't tune in until the proper event starts, the real card gets started, but you can check out my kickoff reports to see what went down. Sometimes there's a match, sometimes not, but there's always strange conversation with the kickoff panel. That's kind of a rotation of characters. So, yeah, that's what I do on the Torch. And, Zach, good to be with you again on a weird, newsworthy day and night. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, it sure was. Yeah, thanks for joining me, man. And, yeah, I mean, you know, this will remember this show for a while. Absolutely. I'm PW Torch Assistant Editor Zach Haydorn, filling in for Wade, who is in the building tonight. He'll be on the VIP side of things. So check it out, pwtorch.com/govip to listen to his Wade Keller Hotline and a bunch of other podcasts, including my own, On the Canvas. It's a show that talks about the art of pro wrestling. Last week we did a artistic breakdown of the Hell in a Cell match between Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. So that was a blast and went just right on through it and kind of analyzed everything from the entrances to the selling to the psychology to the ring work. You know, we kind of just broke it down as we do on a regular basis just from that artistic angle. So go VIP and check that out. Again, it's pwtorch.com/govip. And the show is called On the Canvas, and it drops usually Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every single week. We're nearing 200 episodes now of that, which is pretty crazy to think about. Also, as we've mentioned a couple times throughout the show today, and some callers graciously mentioned as well, check us out on YouTube, PW Torch on YouTube. We've got an active channel right now with new content every single day, news hits, just kind of one-off specialty kind of episodes and analysis. Fireside chat with Tyler Sage and myself every single week live on YouTube at 4 Eastern. So you can kind of make an appointment to join us then. We'd love to have you. We just kind of talk the news of the week, take comments from people who are watching with us, and just kind of like lean back in the chair and just have a conversation about the happenings in wrestling. And then, of course, PWTorch.com, kind of the hub for everything. Make sure you guys are making that part of your wrestling day for news, for show reports like Mike's, for editorial columns. You know, all the podcasts that we do are there for you to check out. The videos that are on YouTube, you can check out there as well if you want. It's there, and it's a great resource, and there's so many great contributors to the site with a variety of different perspectives. So make it part of your day. pwtorch.com. You can follow our brand on Twitter at pwtorch. You can follow me on Twitter at zhaydorntorch. And Mike, one more time with your social media.
At the Mike Show 42. I'll see you guys on there.
There we go. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. For Mike, I'm Zach. And we will catch you guys next time.